Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. This is the Misfits of Gold weekly special. You know, this show that we've created that we do weekly is a platform for us to share our thoughts, share reality. Not everybody's going to agree with us, but, you know, that's life. And, you know, I'm proud to do this show with my brothers because they show true mutual respect in all avenues without putting others down. And that right there is quite profound in that aspect. Joining me on the show today, we have MF Beck. As always, Travis Hyland and Sam Toomer. What's up, my fellas?
What's up, gangster?
Yo.
You know, man, I just, like I told you earlier, man, I can't, hell must have froze over. Sam Toomer answered the call on the first try. I mean, damn, I do believe in miracles now, Dorothy.
I believe in miracles.
You know, I kind of wanted to take today's show on the real. I wanted to get, you know, not just mine, but your thoughts on certain aspects of how fake some parts of life really are and how much certain individuals look at others and don't see their true value except for what they can get from them. You know, life is a really screwed up situation in a lot of ways. I've been on this earth almost 52 years now, and I'm still learning, you know, and that's the, I think that's the trip about life is, you know, you grow up, you get a little bit of hair on your balls, and you think you're a man, and, you know, then you hit 25, and you really think you're a man, and really are, really what you are is somebody that is just learning the process of life. Life is a hard fact. You know, like I said, I'm 51 now, and I'm still learning what it is to be a man. When you look at it that way, and I'm going to throw this to Sam Toomer because I like fucking with him. You know, Sam, when you look at when you thought or realized that you became a man and then you really sat back and realized what life was about, what transitions did you have to make to focus on the future and growth?
Oh, man. Transitions I had to make was just to be more, you know, taking my responsibilities and owning up to them, you know what I mean? And not trying to hide from things or hide behind people, you know what I mean? I had to man up, actually man up, take care of my business, get in here and train or whatever it is I had to do. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you guys get my thought, right? I'm going to jump to Travis. You guys get my thought on what I'm speaking of, because, you know, I was there once, you know, I got hair on my nuts and thought I was a man, you know, I had a kid, figured, oh, well, this is life, I got this cracked, but 10 years went by, and then your thought analysis changed, you know, then another 10 goes by, and the next thing you know, what you thought you knew deep in your heart, and you really didn't know, you're just learning. So how has that process been for you, especially dealing with people that are trying to steer you in the wrong direction, Travis?
Oh, man. I mean, I've spoke on this program before about, you know, a lot of my past struggles and about the fact that, you know, I was one of those kids who at the age of 16 or 17, you know, got a little money and was hanging out with some stupid motherfuckers, and I thought I was a man then. You know, and it wasn't even until recently that I've even, you know, dared say that I've gotten enough of a grasp on myself, call myself a man now, you know. But honestly, I mean, where I'm kind of blessed is in those younger years when I was making all the bad decisions, you know, I went through all this shit already before, man, and I went through this shit in the real world, not in like the weird corporate political, you know, gym by gym world or whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm used to dealing with motherfuckers who have no rules and who are still cutthroat in business, you know. So it's like then you get into the politics, into, you know, the real corporate world of it, you know, and you're dealing with people who are the same kind of con men, but now they have to save face, and they have to be even more fake about what they're doing because there's an entire system of rules set up around them they have to operate with. You know, so it's like I'm kind of lucky in the fact that I've dealt with a lot of con men and a lot of fake motherfuckers when I was young, and when the stakes were, you know, were real life. It wasn't just, you know, some made up, socially constructed bullshit where people feel safe because they have a little bit of power.
Yeah, you know, and I agree with you. You know, I'm gonna jump on this is the week to pick on MF Beck. You know, and he's gonna say, brother,
bring
don't go
Nancy,
there. Why you doing it?
But, bring it on, Nancy. Whatever you want.
I said, bring it on. You know, I'm not really gonna. You know, I look at life and I look at how all these people bitch. You know, this statement that I'm gonna make is probably not gonna resonate very well with any color. You know, I look at the KKK and the white supremacists and all that occurred out there this last week. And in reality, I sit back because I've been around for a minute. You know, we wouldn't have situations like this if the government wouldn't have allowed those individuals to put up monuments in their, in regards to their coalitions and things. Do I think lives should be taken? No. But when you sit back and you dig in it deeper, you know, society today, as I see it, is a smokescreen. You know, I see the government allows certain things to happen so that reality, the true aspect of it, can fly by the side and most people don't pay attention to it because they're looking at things that happened in Virginia and other places. When you look at the way society is going and the way the government perplexes these types of, you know, situations into life, do you believe that, you know, the American citizens, people like yourself, do you believe that we're given a just hand, or you think it's just another smokescreen so the government can continue in their corrupt ways?
Man, I think it's all bullshit, personally. I mean, I understand, like, I can't, you know, like, put myself in somebody else's shoes because I haven't gone through what they've gone through. Like, so I can more or less, like, empathize, like, as far as why people would feel the way they feel. You know, I ain't fucking mad at them, dude. Like, you know, they're showing passion about their feelings, and they're like, I could dig it to a certain extent, but at the same time, it's like, I wouldn't say, like, they could tear down monuments, they could do whatever, like, I dig that, but it's like, as far as, like, erasing history to more or less, like, paint a picture that really didn't fucking happen, like, I don't necessarily believe in that, because if you really, like, if you study history, it's repeating itself over and over again. It doesn't matter what culture is doing to what culture, history will continue to repeat itself, and it's always, like, the root of it. It's like, whoever's in charge, like, in our case, the fucking government, they're in charge of shit. It's divide and conquer, dude. It's fucking Napoleon's fucking game plan 101. And even then, like, long before then, fucking Sun Tzu talked about that shit. If you get them fighting amongst themselves, they can never come together to really, like, focus on one actual thing or focus on what's right. You know, it's all this bullshit about this trend, this music, you know, this way of thinking, this color, you know, my left wing and my fucking right wing. All it is they try to get people to fucking fight over differences, and it's really, it's like our differences is what makes us fucking great, you know, in my opinion. Like, you know, the government, like, they're gonna do what they're gonna do. They have the power to do so, because when you really think about it, there's people that vote them in, you know. And what are you gonna do? It's like there's a smokescreen with fucking everything. There's propaganda with everything. It's like, what can we do as a people, you know? And like, the people that stand up for it, you know, all of a sudden fucking some suicide shit happens or fucking something else happens, you know. Forgive me, anybody that has touchy feelings on that shit, but it is what it is. People that speak out and try to do good things, they get snuffed out. Why? Because that fucking teaches people to think for themselves, teaches people to come together and rise above the shit. They want to keep us down because that's where the fucking money is. They want to keep us away from the money, away from the power. They got to remain in whatever type of fucking control they have. And that trickles on down to these people that, just in our everyday lives, think that they have some form of control, like their lives actually fucking matter. It's ridiculous. As individuals, we don't matter. It's if you focus on, like, community, the people, your friends, your family, focus on people outside of yourself. You know, the government tries to get you dependent on them so you don't actually go think for yourself, work for yourself, watch somebody else's back. They want you to look out for numero uno. Think about it. How much is that shit in society right now? Look out for yourself. Look out for number one. That's a fucking horrible way of thinking, because then nobody's going to work together. Everybody thinks that their one way of thinking is superior to another. You know, it's fucking ridiculous.
You know, I love that analogy, because I had a talk with my homeboy yesterday, which kind of really, really resonated really well with me, you know, and I kind of came up with a thought. I said, you know, you think of statements that people make. You know, I'd like to see the three of them in an office together. They could never get along. But when you really think about it, we're just a bunch of people that are thrown in one room. It just happens to be the United States, the world, however you want to look at it. But each and every one of us, as you stated, we all have our own ideas. We all have our own mentalities. We're all, you know, you could be in the grocery store buying a loaf of bread, and the dude behind you could be a mass serial murderer. And you don't know. And that's the crazy thing about life is once you leave your house, you put yourself in a situation to be around people that you don't know. You know, everybody thinks that a life and the American dream is this and that. But when you break it down, looking out for yourself is truly the only aspect you can, because, like I said, I could be at the grocery store 2 hours from now. The guy behind me can have an M16, and as soon as I walk out the store, start killing everybody. You know, could I have been a part of that? Yeah, but did I really know that was going to happen? No. I could be behind, you know, standing in front of a child rapist and not even know it. You know, so when you put that many minds and that many fucked up people into one country, I mean, how could there be social, I guess you would say social growth? There can't be. And then you look at what the government perplexes, you know, into our daily lives, it just fucks things up, you know, up that much more. You know, I didn't mean to go into politics for a minute, but it kind of plays a little bit on the line that I did want to go. Because we started this show with a thought to share real, with a thought to change things if possible with growth and the right attitude and just showing people that reality is what it's about with altruism. Now, certain situations have perplexed and in all of our lives, you know, since we started doing this show, and some people have made a 360 and some people are trying to now jump on the bandwagon of what is real. You know, how has that affected you, Sam Toomer? Did I get hung up on? Sam ain't going to answer me, is he?
Is he on the
You
phone?
Answer it, Travis.
What was the question, Don? Just the last
Sam,
part of
Sam
the
hung up on us.
That's rough. The first time
no,
I'm
dude,
telling.
He straight hung up. We'll get him back on. He's probably mad at us.
Already pissing people off, Don.
I know it. I'm only 13 minutes into the show.
That's how you know it's going to be a good one.
Yo.
You just didn't want to answer the question, what? Bro.
This shit always happens to me. I feel like you guys set me up, dog. Y'all want to make fun of me. Want to make you look like a bad guy.
I asked you a legit question, man. Do you remember what it was?
No, you were talking, and then like, I didn't hear anything. And then I was like, fuck, I got lost again.
I'll lead into the second half of what I was saying because I don't want you to get mad and hang up again. You know, when you look at life in society, you know, and, you know, we started doing this show, you know, things started changing up and people started seeing that we were corresponding and putting real out there and connecting the dots. You know, and that changed up some aspects of people's game that are around you, around all of us. You know, some people that weren't getting the attention that they so deserved are now getting that attention. Do you feel that that's a hindrance in your life, or do you feel that, you know, now that you're able to state what you feel about life and what you think about life and create your own life for you? Do you feel now that they're coming back into that aspect because they know that you can exist without them?
Yeah, man, I definitely agree with that. But as far as it being a hindrance to my life, not so much because, you know, regardless of who's on my team or who's got my back, I'm gonna do what I gotta do. As far as them, you know, wanting to come back, that's cool. I believe in second chances. You know what I mean? And this is pretty much how, you know, people evolve. Somebody's got to do something different, and then once that is proven effective, and next thing you know, everybody wants to do that thing that is different. As far as I'm concerned, I feel like I'm just doing my service, you know what I mean, trying to make the world a better place. If they want to, you know, go on and stay on that little track, then go for it. You can, you know, look to your right and see different. If you choose to come over here, you know, welcome you. All arms, you know what I mean? Arms wide open.
and bro, if I didn't like you, I wouldn't pick on you. Let's just get that out in the forefront. You know, to the listeners, I've known Sam for a minute now when he was being promoted and he came on the show way back when, and I'm glad you did because, you know, you're a great character in life. You know, Travis, I'm going to jump over to you because sometimes you could be the outspoken one, and I truly like that aspect of you because you're young, but yet you're very vocal about life. When you look at opinions that are construed or opinions that, you know, others make, and then when they finally see your potential and finally see that you're gaining in life, then all of a sudden, you know, they're that brother that has their hand on your shoulder. How do you hold that in relevance?
I mean, I hold everybody to their own individual standard, you know. Like, I've always been the kind of guy who, if I have two friends and two of my friends start beefing and having problems, I'm not going to hang out with the other one and get involved in any of their drama, you know. Everybody's got opinions. And, you know, the more you do good, the more people are going to naturally kind of come around you. And, I mean, I love where Sam's coming at, you know. And Sam is obviously the most, you know, the nicest, I guess.
Altruistic.
Yeah, the most altruistic of the three of us. Because I am far less, I'm far less likely to give you a second chance if you've already burnt me once. Or if, but again, it depends on the individual and it depends on the situation. You know, because I can have a friend who, you know, does something wrong to me, but if it's not malicious and it's not a character flaw of theirs, just a situational thing, then I'll always work and welcome you back with open arms. But, you know, then there are other individuals who have particular character flaws that I've seen and who have shown me their true colors over time and time again and have shown that they can't even be real with themselves. And, you know, those individuals are the ones you gotta watch out for. And those are the ones who I say clear away from society and everything overall is people need to get over the idea that people are given a fair hand in life. You know, nothing is fair for anybody. Even if you're born with $1 billion, you know, you're still going to have a particular set of problems. And honestly, I think that is more of a hindrance to your character and to your personality as a man than being born with nothing. Because if you're born with nothing, you at least have a little, you know, taste of the real world. And there are so many people now that, you know, we live in this country who, as many problems as it has or whatever, it's still incredible. You know, I've been to other places. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Thailand. And I've seen, you know, what real poverty is. And even you go to Thailand and, you know, you see little kids running around on the street without shoes. And they're the happiest little kids I've ever seen. Yet you can walk around here in Folsom, you know, see all these little kids walking around with Nintendo DSs and $100 shoes on, and they're cussing their parents out for them not buying them an extra candy bar or something, you know. So I really think it would help everyone if, you know, people kind of got out of the idea that anything is fair, you know. You gotta go out in the world, and what you do is what's going to happen. And that's the only thing that's, you know, real. If you walk out into the woods with a knife, you know, that's real life. And if you fall down and break your leg, you're going to starve to death, and nature's not going to care about you, and, you know, the world's going to keep on spinning, man. And that's one of the big illusions and smoke screens I think we have in this country, is that people want to pretend like, you know, oh, everybody should get a fair start. And, yeah, people should. In a great world, everyone would have a fair start. But the reality of this world and of every world up until this point, nothing is fair for anybody ever.
I agree with that to a certain extent, but, you know, I'm going to take it a little bit deeper, And, you know, I'm going to give you the philosophy of an old man. The one thing that pisses me off about the United States, you can come from overseas, and we're going to give you an immigrant status check, which is generally, you know, anywhere from $16,000 to $4,000 a month. Then we're going to give you loans to help you get a business. Then we're going to do all this, you know. You know, people say, and I'm even one that says that in America we have this entitlement generation, because we do. But there's a part of America that a lot of people don't see. There's a part that exists here that a lot of people don't want to own up to. You know, I could go 45 minutes from my house, and I can find a house that has no running water in it, no toilet, dirt floors. And these people aren't living this way by choice. You know, this is all they can afford and all they can do. So when you look at certain criterias of life, you know, that aspect of America is hidden. So when I get hit up, and I'll be the first to admit, I'm a prick. You know, I'll get hit. Would you like to donate to this? I said, nah, would you fucking donate to me if I needed it? You know, and people think that I'm an asshole in that retrospect. But if you look at my thought, you know, here we see all these charities wanting to get money for overseas. Why don't they look at our own country and realize that there's kids that go hungry every day? There's parents who are busting their ass as migrant farm workers that are true Americans that can't even feed their families. They go without eating at night just so their kids can eat. They go without new clothes just so their kids could get clothes to go to school, if they can even go to school. You know, these are issues that are perplexed in America that nobody wants to open their eyes to, but truly exist. MF, what are your thoughts?
I got a lot of thoughts on this subject. You know, that goes right back to, you know, what I talked about. If people represent a chess pieces, you know, who's the king? That's where I think that is. It's like, okay, yeah, these charities fucking take all this money to go, you know, support these people from foreign lands or do this or bring this in or whatever the case may be. Let's spend money on shit that's not our community, not our, like, you know, within our direct control. Like, think about it. Like, if you could help some kid donating every single month, right, that lives out in fucking Spain. I don't know. That fucking country is kind of funny to me. But if some kid lives out in Spain, right, you're going to send that kid money. Why? It makes you feel good? Yeah, you got caught in a sympathy ploy. Because real shit, I guarantee you, would look down the street, see the same fucking kid, the same age, struggling here, that they could help directly. But they would rather fucking pay some anonymous fucking company that they think they're doing fucking great things for, because they fell victim to a sympathy ploy. And it's not the people's fault, dude. It's these fucking, a lot of these, what do you say, like the non-profit, they're fucking laundromats, dude. Anybody that looks at them otherwise is a fool. And you can call me crazy, you can call me psycho, whatever you want. Anything that is non-profit is not for fucking helping people in any way, shape, or form. It's a way for the rich people to fucking switch their money out and clean it out and spend it in other ways. Right? Not, baby. Same thing on why they bring all these poor fucking families over here and then neglect them. Why do you think they do that? Because they're going to vote these people in because they think that they're fucking helping them out and they actually give a shit about these fucking people. And no, it's all the fucking ploy. These people are being used. These people are being fucking used. If you want to help somebody, help the people that you can directly fucking help. Anything else is a fallacy. It's a fucking farce. Help the people that you can help directly. Help the situations you can help directly. Focus on what's in front of you. You can't take hold of the big picture if your ass can't even fucking walk out of the door. You know what I mean?
Man, see, you get me. You know, the other day, I'm sure I pissed these people off, you know. It was the American Breast Cancer Society, and they called and asked me, would I like to donate? I said no, and the lady said, well, may I ask why? I said, well, when I went through breast cancer and I almost lost my house, I said, nobody came and helped me. And she hung up on me.
Exactly, because they don't give a shit. They don't care. They're just trying to collect money. And those motherfuckers are on the phone. They don't even got to deal with these people face. It's like not even like a soul-to-soul interaction. You know what I mean? It's a lot easier to fuck somebody over when you don't got to look them in the eyes. And that's where being a, you know, ex-street hustler or whatever, yeah, it was a bad part of life. Like I said, I wasn't a good person when I was younger. But as you learn things, you learn how to read things in people's eyes. And it takes a heartless person to, you know, fuck somebody over. But it takes an even colder person to sit there and look them in the eyes and make them love you for it. You know what I mean? And that's what these fucking politicians do to people. And I think that's why I fucking recognize it so much, because it's like that evil does exist. And it's in the face of everything that you believe is good. It's fucking crazy.
You know, it is. And you know, last night I had Virgil Hill and John Fitch on my show, but I want to talk about Virgil Hill for a moment. Here is a man that is a multiple world champion. 51-7 was his record. Was a silver medalist in the Olympics, but actually would have been gold, but they overturned the fight, and he ended up with the silver. You know, when I asked this man about his accolades, he ran through them like in like two and a half seconds, just like he really didn't want to say what it was. And I asked him what was relevant in his heart that he takes away from the sport. And all that man could talk about was the kids, creating a better future, giving the kids that don't have an opportunity, a path in life, whether it be in boxing or any other avenue. You know, and he reminded me a lot of UMF, because he said, I might meet a kid and boxing might not be his thing, but I can still be a mentor. I could still be a brother. And when you look at life like that, individuals like Virgil Hill that could sit there and brag about themselves all day long and do this and do that, are taken to the streets, taken to these little tiny gyms, and creating the future of life and the sport for others. When you look at certain criteria of life, Sam, you know, you're a cat of a different, you know, different walk. And I like to mess with you most of the time. But truly, when you look at you, you could see that fairness, equality, and helping others, and instill, you know, pure thoughts in their head. They might not be the thoughts that you walk with daily, but you could see that you're an individual that likes to give back to the community, likes to give back to kids. Where did that mentality come from, and what does Sam Toomer take away from it?
Man. Ah, shit. That mentality comes from, my childhood. There was a lot of times in my childhood where I wish I had somebody there to tell me something, just whisper that little, something in my ear, or nudge me in a certain direction. And once I realized that, once I was able to realize that, it came after football. Once I started martial arts, I knew after my first year, I was like, I'm going to be able to teach people this, you know what I mean? And just being that change that I wanted is my motivation. And it's just made me feel so just open to anything, just like those kids that I'm trying to teach things. Like, I'm still that kid too, willing to learn things. And that's how it affected my life.
Well said. You know, Travis, when you look at all the shows we've done so far, you know, we've touched on several different issues and some deeper than others. But you've been on this earth, you know, a little bit now. When you look at the time from when you were a child, what you were taught, what you were instilled, to the man you are today, what can you actually say? That, and I'm not speaking of your parents or anything like that. I'm talking about the school system and the government and things of this nature. What would you say that you've taken away that has bettered you in the future from, you know, through schooling, through mentors, people that the government provides to you? Have you taken away anything that has been beneficial in life to you in that regard?
I mean, perspective. Honestly, you know, I'm from a very, very small town. I mean, my graduating class in high school was 97 kids, I do believe. You know, so I'm from a very small town. And obviously, we didn't, as our school being small, you know, we didn't get the kind of funding that other schools got. And I had a rough, you know, a rough go at school. I had a lot of friends. I did great socially. You know, I played a lot of sports. But as far as for the education system, man, I mean, a lot of the things that I was taught in school, you know, now with the internet, having fucking Google in my pocket, I found out that a lot of the things I was taught in school was wrong. You know, I'm in classes with fucking 40 kids. You know, the janitors and some of the teachers would buy alcohol for us. You know, it's like I haven't really taken a whole lot away from you know, as far as my schooling and that stuff is done. But it has given me a lot of perspective, you know, and it's given me motivation. And like I said, I've fucked up a lot, and I've made all the bad decisions in the world. I've learned everything the hard way. But in learning everything the hard way, you know, it's helped me become the person I am today. And most of all, it's taught me that, you know, everything I knew as a child, as, you know, somebody under 25, I didn't know shit. And now today, the biggest thing I know is that I really don't know shit. And the more I learn, it just teaches me, you know, every time I learn something new, that just brings me down a rabbit hole of, oh, well, here's 10,000 other fucking things that I don't know that I could just get stuck in. You know, so it's, I mean, it's obviously helped me a lot because of where I've gotten from it today. But as far as, you know, like my academic career, I can't say a whole lot for it. I think teachers should be held in super high regard. Education is one of the most important things, you know, for a culture, for a country. It's crazy to me that we spend all kinds of money on every other thing you want to name in the government, yet nobody respects our teachers, and they don't respect the people who are going to be teaching our children, you know, how to be good people and how to go out in the world and create, invent shit, cure cancer, cure AIDS, you know. I mean, our kids should be our number one priority. We have all this information and all the resources in this country, yet we pay our teachers fucking $20,000 a year, and half of our teachers don't even have background checks, man. It's the craziest shit in the world.
You know, I got to agree with you because John Fitch kind of touched on a little bit of this in a different retrospect last night. You know, when it comes down to harsh reality, our fucking trash men make more than most fighters. They make more than a lot of people in life. And, you know, I know it's not the greatest job in the world, but it's a pretty sad day when a garbage man makes more than an educator, you know, that has our children and is teaching our children the fundamentals, are supposed to be teaching our children the fundamentals of life, and they can't even make, you know, break the $30,000 a year threshold, and here you got a trash man making $45,000 a year with full benefits. And, you know, it just sickens me in life. But we're going to go ahead and call Sam Toomer back. I'm going to buy that brother a new phone because he got to get rid of Getro PCS. Man.
Please leave your message for 209-373.
I should have let us. What's that? Something's still ringing, so I don't know if it's still his phone or what. We'll try it again.
Hello?
Well, there you are. We got you back.
Damn it! I was just calling you.
Whatever, bro. Don't give us that. Hey, man, you need to get rid of that Getro PCS, and I'll send you a phone from Verizon. That way, you don't have no more excuses.
Can you hear me now?
I love you on the switch. Now. I've been trying to switch to Verizon. It's T-Mobile that's
out of business. Yeah, you got to get rid of the you got to get rid of the Getro PCS, man. You do. I know $30 a month is cheap, bro, but you get what you pay for in America.
That's real.
You know, I kind of wanted to do something a little bit different today. Well, we've been doing this show for, gosh, a couple months now. You know, nice. So I kind of wanted to get each one of you to give kind of your a quick little synopsis and bio on who you are and what your thought perception is in the walk you maintain in life. And I'm going to start with MF Beck.
Man, I'll be the first one to admit it. I'm not too, like, keen on talking about myself. In fact, I judge myself more harshly than anybody else ever has. So, in light of that, but in spirit of that, I'd rather let my man Travis or my man Sam actually kind of get home on that one because, dude, I don't know. I'm just more embarrassed about it, shy about it, humble about it. I don't know. I'm not good about talking about who I am, what I am. Because really it's just who I am is a perspective, a perception of somebody else. You know, I can see myself the way I see myself all day long. Doesn't mean that's how you see me or how Sam sees me or how Travis or anybody else for that matter. You know what I mean? So, but in spirit,
I'm going to change it up on you, bro, because I'm the man in the corner too. Okay, I'm going to change it up on you, bro. You know,
I like it.
I'll bring it on. You know, you can't tell me that when MF Beck looks in the mirror that he truly doesn't see something that enlightens him, something that puts that extra kick in your step, that motivation behind you. There's something that drives you to be the inspirational person you are, even though you don't take any credit for it. What is it about humility that defines MF Beck?
And even that, like, I couldn't tell you how I learned it. Maybe it's innate, maybe it was gathered. You know, I'm a giant fucking walking contradiction, dude, in my opinion. Like, I could see like, I'm capable of doing anything I put my mind to, but at the same time, I'm like, dude, like, I don't like, why me, you know? Who am I? What am I doing? What makes me so great? But why do these people look up to me like that? And it's like, I guess the main thing is, like, not necessarily living up to what I believe I can do. I just want to live up to whatever potential, whatever it is that I'm meant to do. And, you know, right now my purpose is these guys. So if I could just be the best person I could be, and, you know, they look at me and, like, in a way, like, I don't know how to fucking explain it, dude. Maybe it's humility.
I get you, bro. I get you because, you know, I ask you the same question all the time. You know, I'll be honest with, you know, Travis and Sam have never heard this discussion. Probably none of my listeners have either. But, you know, when I get 100,000 listens on the show, I've gone to MF and I've said, bro, I don't understand why all these motherfuckers listen to me. You know, my show really isn't that special. You know, I don't get it. You know, so I understand where you're coming from, MF, because, you know, my walk in life is pretty much coincides with yours. You know, yeah, I got the syndication deal. Have I signed the contract yet? No. Am I going to? I can't honestly say I am. You know, I guess the best way to understand people like us is to look at life as a whole. I started this show to focus fighters that a lot of people didn't want to pay attention to. I started this show to give a guy that was 0-6, 1-16, you know, a true voice in life. You know, this sport has truly put a roof over my head, food in my stomach, the cars I drive. It's given me everything. So this was my only way to give back to a sport that has truly blessed me. And I never did it with the thought of gaining any money from it. So now here's this opportunity that I can make six figures or more. And a lot of people say, God, dude, I'd jump on. I've had lawyers look at these contracts and say, bro, I've never seen anybody build anything from an organic show and get a contract like this with this huge, you know, of a corporation. But that doesn't mean shit to me. It honestly doesn't mean shit to me. I'm rich in heart. I don't need to be rich in pocket. And see, I think the three gentlemen on this show today, to my listeners, I think they understand that perspective, and that's why we do this show, is, to me, I feel like I'm selling out. And, you know, I don't know, but I'm going to get Travis Hyland's thoughts on the statement that I just made, that I feel like I'm selling out, and in some aspects, I feel I'm doing the fighter an injustice if I go into syndication. What are your thoughts?
I mean, you know, honestly, Don, that's a decision that only you can make, you know. And you're the only one who understands all of the variables as well as anything, you know, in your life. But personally, I think if you can still do what you want to do and say what you want to say and people aren't, you know, limiting the conversations or the people that you can have, then fucking do it, man. It's not – the only way it's selling out is if you got to suck dick or kiss ass, play by the rules that people, you know, put down on. You know, selling out is only when you end up having to do something that your heart's not in and that you truly don't want to do. But, I mean, if this deal coincides with you being allowed to still have, you know, free reign and do the stuff that you want to do, then it's not selling out at all. It's just a smart business decision.
Yeah, you know, and it's been put at me in that angle before, and I don't know, there's just, maybe it's just something that, a thought that I haven't found in my heart, or maybe it's a conclusion that I came to that I just haven't realized yet, or maybe it just may be from the upbringing that I've had from coming from the projects and obscurity and learning what life was the hard way and truly making myself into what I am because of who you guys are. You know, when you really look, sit back and look about it, I wouldn't be, well, I would be, because I do have my master's in engineering science, but as far as the fight world is concerned, I wouldn't exist if it wasn't for fighters, the fans, the inner workings, you know, the trainers, everybody. So, you know, I'm gonna jump over to Sam. Sam, when you look at the thought that I made and you heard Travis's thoughts, how do you perceive this? You've known me the longest out of everybody on the show today. How do you perceive my intellectual thoughts, and do you feel that if I don't do the show, that it'd be unjust to the fighters?
Oh, man, I agree with Travis 100%. And if anything, you know, signing that deal and getting more listeners, you know, we're touching more people, you know what I mean? We might not be, you know, super big or super small or anything. We're just giving that, putting that voice out there. It's the fighter's voice, you know what I mean? And a lot of people don't get to hear the fighter voice. They get to see us in the cage and think that we're, you know, just having a freaking bar fight out there. But then when they tune into this show and they listen to us speak about our lives and our outlooks on things and noticing that most of us are just, you know, human beings, humble human beings, you know what I mean? And I think that this show definitely helps and is grabbing people's ear and getting them to listen and process that, you know, we're more than just fighters, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, and both of you made a very valid point. I think maybe deep in my mind and in my heart, the thought of jumping over to a programming network that has the potential of up to 30 million listeners is something that I don't feel I'm truly deserving of. But, you know, then again, the show isn't about me. It's about the fighters and sharing who they are. You know, I love this show, man, and I guarantee all of you, when I do go, because I am going to go into the syndication deal, whether I have, you know, doubts in my own heart or in my mind, because I'm on a team of individuals that have created this, and I'm not going to let who I am, you know, hinder the growth for other individuals in life, because I don't roll like that. But I guarantee you that this show will be taken with us into syndication, and I think it's a show that has helped me fundamentally in life and psychologically and even emotionally. You know, I've been through a lot. You know, like I thanked you before, Sam, you introduced me to MF Beck, and he's truly a profound man and a guy that I have respect for like no other. And then you bring in Travis Hyland, who's just this guy that has truly changed my thought about the entitlement generation. And he's a man, Travis, you're a courageous young man with an old man's thought, and that's something you just don't find anymore. It shows the walk that you're in life is truly one of growth and knowledge, and it all falls back on MF Beck. You know, the man that wants to be in the shadow, the man that doesn't truly like any accolades, and I can understand that, MF. You know, but the movement has started. You know, the Misfits of Gold have been created. What is the future of the Misfits of Gold, MF Beck?
Wherever it takes us, my brother. There is no limit. The only real question is do we have the capacity to take it as far as it needs to go? You know, and as far as I go, like, there ain't no defeatist in me. I know I'll fucking go kicking out, screaming blood, whatever. It don't matter. And I know these motherfuckers are right there, right beside me, because we'll be beside each other. Won't be in the front or in the back. So, sometimes we gotta let go of our pride and, you know, do what's requested of us. I don't like it. I don't fucking consider it, you know. But I appreciate these motherfuckers more than anything, and I appreciate you too. So, if that's the role that, you know, is requested of me, then that's what I gotta do. But I know that with Sam there, with Travis there, with the rest of Miss Richards, I think we can do it for the people. We can do it for everybody that feels left out, feels alone. Maybe that's really why it came together, you know what I mean? Because we're going against everything that society tries to foist on people. And you could see it just amongst people, you know. Maybe we can
be that beacon of hope, beacon of light, whatever. Because fuck it, dude, the brighter the light, the darker the shadow. I'll forever be in the Roots band, but cause I believe Sam will be the one to light the guide that way, not me.
You know, I agree with you, man, because, I'm a firm believer in one team, one dream. You know, and the Misfits of Gold truly have, man, it's a breath of fresh air for me. Being able to, man, I like doing this show more than I do some of my other episodes because I get to be myself. I get to kind of, you know, state how I feel in life. And, you know, we do make jokes sometimes. We do kind of, you know, take things in different angles. But the reality of it is this is real. This is as real as it gets. You know, I might state that I'm at the doctor's office with my pregnant fighter wearing my push-up shoes or, you know, riding the coattails of somebody that just got famous. But in hindsight, this show is about sharing what wealth and experience of knowledge that we've ascertained and we continue to go through. You know, when you look at the creation of Misfits of Gold, it was truly a tremendous day because it was a focal point in life for individuals that truly wanted to maintain who they are in life without losing their step. You know, Sam, I'm gonna jump to you real quick. We're gonna cut this show here real quick because I know your phone's about ready to hang up again. But when you look at back in the early days in the creation of the Misfits of Gold, the wealth of knowledge and equality that you shared with MF Beck, how grateful are you in life now and in your role that this situation came to reality?
I'm sorry, say that last part again.
I know MF is screwing up my show. I said, how grateful are you that this came to apparition and how much it's allowed you to maintain your role?
Man, I'm, like, super grateful, man. Like I told you before, like, my whole point with the coming out here was, you know, to run into people like me, not go search and find, but, you know, run into them, let them come into my life. Like, I was open to that. And the fact that he was the first person, you know what I mean? Truly feel blessed, man. From the day that we met, from the first conversation we had, you know what I mean? And I don't know, I get all emotional and shit, but, I freaking look up to him. You know what I mean? I strive to be in his shoes one day, you know, maybe some kid will move up here and want to run into people. And then, you know, they find me and like just continue to carry that torch. I know he doesn't want to be in the spotlight, but God damn it. I look at you that way, man. You are the fucking leader.
God damn.
But it's my boy, man. I'm grateful.
Motherfucker.
I'm grateful. I can't speak no more. That's it. Cut the interview. We done.
Yeah, right. You just
man,
gave
dude,
him another
it
great
was life changing.
Yeah, me too. Pure shit.
You know, I'm gonna throw it on you, Travis, before MF ruins any more of the show. So, you know, Travis, how much did it mean to you when this coalition came to apparition and now it's still proceeding and. You know, what does it mean to you?
And the funniest thing about this this whole team coming together is it came together about 3 years before we ever put a name on it or it was ever really even a thought. You know, it kind of just started as a passing thing, you know, for MF to refer to the, you know, 10 or 12 of us who were constantly in there training with him, you know, constantly coming down to his gym to get in extra work. You know, so the funny thing about it is, you know, we were the Misfits of Gold, you know, 3 or 4 years before we ever got a title or before we ever, you know, did anything. And people have actually, you know, came and went. We've went from a small gym to a fucking way bigger gym. So, I mean, you know, it's been so natural in the way that it came together. And on top of everything, you know, like, you know, just like Sam's story, man, MF came into the gym the first day. And, you know, instantly we just hit it off. We started having, you know, some of these big conversations, you know. We started throwing around ideas. And, you know, when I run into somebody who can make me think and who can change my mind on stuff and who can give me a different perspective, it's coming from a place of knowledge, and not only that, but of just being, you know, everything he says is well thought out. You know, he doesn't say anything that doesn't have any purpose. And he's one of those guys who's just so wide in his study of everything. You know, he's the only MMA coach that we have at our gym who, you know, is prolific in 10, 15, you know, maybe even as far as 20 different styles of martial arts. But, I mean, like, this whole thing came together real, real naturally, man. And that's why it works, you know. We're friends, we're brothers, and, you know, it makes for great, great team and no ego.
Right. And, you know, MF, I know you get a little perturbed, and you know, so I'm going to give my own two thoughts, too. So when it's three against one, it's kind of hard to dispute it. You know.
Sometimes you got to feel civil for that.
Well, bro, I've been in this business almost 20, well, it has been 21 years now, shit. And I could count on one hand the individuals that I truly respect. And you happen to be one of those individuals. You know, my grandfather taught me at a very young age, if you have more friends than you can count on one hand, then you truly have too many friends. And I look back at the time Sam introduced us, and we clicked, I mean, right off the get. And so I feel what, you know, Travis and Sam are stating. You know, there's a certain rapport that you have when you speak, and what you're doing for individuals in life is giving them an opportunity to be themselves, giving them an opportunity to share their thoughts without being frowned upon or discriminated against. You know, you welcome an individual with open arms, whether you agree with their thought process or not, you know, because you realize that there's more to life than critiquing somebody. There's more to life than downplaying a situation. You know, and with that type of mentality, you get haters. You get people that try to take credit for what you've done in life. You get people that try to outcast you because what you're creating is real. How hard has that been, or how perplexing has that been, or has it, you know, even been a thought in the mind of MF Beck? Or do you just consider it to be another issue in life and maintain that role of truism?
Man, I'm always going to be me, you know what I mean? And that's the funniest part about it. I am me, and that means nobody else could be me. And I mean, they could try. But real shit, dude, it's like, I'm a fucking, like I said, a walking contradiction. It's like, if they want to try and be like me, like, go ahead. If you want to live with my brain for a day, go right ahead. Like, I, you know, I'd welcome it. Like, if they really wanted to. Like, you want to see what's in my head for a whole day? Yeah. Most people wouldn't even survive it. But I don't know, man. Like, I'm used to being looked at like an outcast, like an outsider. Like, I'm different. I'm this. You know, I don't conform this way. I don't conform this way. If it wasn't about me anymore, I was welcoming, like, anybody. You know, it was like, I'm down. Like, I started realizing people are people. It's not about me. You know, and I welcome the differences more than I wanted somebody to be like me, because the more I realize that, like, if I'm around nothing but yes men all day and people that all dress the same, they talk the same, they walk the same, like, that's just fucking boring to me, dude. Like, I can't get stuck in it. Like, I just want to break out for no fucking reason. And then I create some kind of stir, some kind of chaos, even if, like, growth happens. You know, it's like I put myself in these shitty situations sometimes and I grow because of it. But it's like, with these guys, like, I can sense that with them, too. It's like we've all been looked at the same way, looked down upon, you know, outcasted, blacklisted, whatever. Dude, it doesn't matter, blackballed. Like, people look at us and judge us all, like, in a particular way, but it's one of the key things that brings us together is that same pain that we all felt. And coming around with everybody has, like, a similar mindset. You know, it's like, in the group, it's like, that's one of our things we stand for. It's like, you could be different. You could be an individual. Nobody's going to tell you fucking otherwise. And we welcome it. They're like, it's discussions, and that's how I believe that's why we were able to grow so well, because we all know our own weaknesses. We know the weaknesses of our fucking brothers, you know what I mean? But we also know the strengths, and everybody knows but we all let each other, like, stay in their lanes, and nobody really fucking conflicts with anything, because we respect the other person's values and the other person's beliefs. Because real shit, if you had 100 people all thinking the same thing, that's fucking madness, dude. Like, it's fucking wild. Like, not everybody's going to agree on everything. If it is, they're fucking robots. You know, so I feel blessed just to even be a part of something like this, dude. And, you know, it's still like, it definitely baffles me. Like, I don't know why I was chosen for it or why any of us came together, but the one thing is for certain is, like, it was for a purpose. And I believe it's even bigger than the group itself and just, you know, this immediate right now. I think it's far better than that, like, far bigger. Like, even with your radio show, dude, where you got Sam fucking, Sam's on the fucking, you know, he's on deck for fucking great things. And just the other projects that we got in the mix, it's like, maybe life is pulling us in that direction to really, like, show this voice, show other people that you could be you, you could do what you want to do. You don't have to conform to this. And, you know, maybe them listening to us might be able to help them in their fucking endeavors during the day. But I definitely believe that we came together for a purpose, for a reason. That's why it happens so naturally. I want to do the best I can to guide that direction, guide it in the right direction. I've seen the light. I've seen the dark, you know. I went from nothing to being fucking rich to losing everything again. I've lived in the shadows. I've lived in the light, you know. It's like it's a different perspective. But if I can protect everybody in the process, I guess really what it's about. Because think about it, dude. Like, even we sit here and converse about how much shit that fucking bothers us on how fucking fake life is and the people in general. How many other million motherfuckers out there do you think are feeling the same exact way that just wish that somebody would fucking understand what they're going through, you know?
Yeah, you know, I truly feel you, you know. And, you know, actually today was kind of a fucking bittersweet day for me before we wrap things up here. You know, as you saw, I posted earlier a picture with a trauma surgeon who has truly saved my life three times that I know of. And, you know, it was kind of bittersweet because it was, I go in for my post-op today and everything is going well. You know, there's issues that I'm going to have to live with in life. But we, you know, the doctor wanted to take a selfie with me because the simple fact is in his heart, his mind, I shouldn't be here. And the other thing that he said was that I astonished him that, you know, a person that has been through what I've been through, you know, with all the surgeries and missing limbs and things of this nature, that I still continue to go out there and fight for life and love life and cherish the life that I do have when most people would lay in bed and give up and say, fuck the world. And he said that he will always, you know, hold on to that picture when he's having a bad day and realize that, you know, no matter what, you just got to push forward. But at the same time, we both realize that I've gotten fixed to a point that I don't have to see this individual anymore unless something major happens. And so it was kind of like a parting of the ways, and it was bittersweet because how do you walk away from somebody that has truly given you life, but yet this, you know, social restraints, the hospital, the constraints of what he does for a living doesn't allow us to be friends outside of his practice. So I truly am walking away from a man that I love more than anybody I can ever imagine in my life. A man that has truly given my family, my friends, more of me and given me an opportunity to share my thoughts and what I've been through in life. And now I have to walk away from this individual and not be able to be friends with him. You know, it's a sad day because when you find people that truly care, sometimes you can't be. And with that thought, it just kind of left me disheartened. But, you know, on the same note, I looked at the other hand and I realized that I've got you guys. You know, you may have not saved my life, but you allow me to be who I am. You allow me to give you guys a voice. At the same time, you're giving me a voice to share my thoughts about everyday life. And on that level, I respect you guys and appreciate you guys. On a closing note, I'm just going to pass the mic to Sam first, anything that you add to the program or anything that you would just like to state, the floor is yours, my brother.
First off, I want to thank everyone that's listening. If you're a fighter or anyone interested in fighting, please spread the word. You know, let people know we're out here and that you as a fighter, you have a voice. And, of course, shout out to the Misfits and everyone that is involved in my life right now. I love you. And, stay up.
Travis?
Once again, title fight on September 30th in Sacramento. That's all I really got in the works right now. And, you know, just thank you to everyone who listened. You know, spread the word. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, all that good shit. And, you know, just go out there, man, and try and do something good for somebody today, you know?
Most definitely. And the guru, Grasshopper, MF Beck, any final thoughts?
Man, I'll touch on what you were talking about with that doctor. You know, it's something I don't know if I came up with it, but it was definitely a thought. But it's, you know, sometimes it's not about moving on. It's more about moving forward. You know what I mean? One door closes, another opens. So that's kind of the way it goes. And, you know, I'm very appreciative of everybody, like the Misfits, you. Like, this is something that I truly believe is bigger than all of us. And I think that with the right mentality amongst all of us, that we'll be able to do good things with it and do right by people for a change. Give people something to strive for, you know what I mean? Something to believe in for that's not programmed in, you know. And shout out to anybody out there that ever felt like that, because you're not alone.
You know, and before I let everybody go, and your words are tremendous, you know, I want to close on a thought that I took away from John Fitch yesterday. You know, because I think it hit home, and I think it deserves a closing argument, I guess you would say. You know, I asked him, what was it like to go from the UFC and have to make that transition to World Series of Fighting? And for the first time ever, I think a fighter was truly completely sincere about the pay aspects and the sport aspect of it, I guess you'd say. You know, and John Fitch openly admitted that it was fucking hard, you know, and, you know, he said, you know, he felt like part of his career was taken from him and now he has to start it all over again. And, you know, then WSOF, he was the champion, that was taken away, and now it's something Fight League, I forget what it is. And so they took his belt, so now he's at square one again. But he said, you know, this story of my life is just now beginning. It's a new chapter. And, you know, I may have to start all over again, but the story isn't over. I'm just beginning. And that's what I feel is relevant to this show. As we move into syndication, you know, the story isn't over. You know, it's actually just beginning. On that note, I want to thank MSX, Sam Toomer, and Travis Hyland. If there's anything else you guys would like to add to the program, now's the time, or forever hold your motherfucking breath.
Nothing.
Hey, you know what? As we go out, though, I do want you to hold on for a second, because I'm gonna thank my sponsors real quick. But then I'm gonna play a song, and this song is for you, Sam. Okay, but yeah, I just want you to hear the beginning of it. But first, I want to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez. Thank you for making this show possible. I truly love you, my brother. United Way Merced, Affliction, the 86ers.net, One Team, One Dream. On that note, I'm going to bump a little Mystical real quick. Sam, just stay on the line long enough so you can get to just...
Here I go.
I had to bust it out on you, bro. The man
right here. Hard, bro.
On that note,
can't
my brother.
Fuck my damn self.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, that song just screamed Sam Toomer. So,
UFC debut for sure.
The man right here. But on that note, my brothers, it's been a tremendous afternoon. Much love. One team, one dream. Right. Misfits die hard. They don't die lonely. On that note, everybody, thank you. Have a good day, and God bless.
Holla.
Holla.